Motorola unveiled new products today. One is called the Moto X Style, but it'll be called the Moto X Pure Edition in the United States. The company also announced a phone called the Moto Play and also a new Moto G device. Roger Chang is an executive editor for CNET News and joins us now. Hey, Roger, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. You were at the event this morning, and you came sprinting back to your office to be on the show. I appreciate that. The Moto X Pure Edition will have universal LTE banding. What the heck does that mean, and why is that interesting?
That is, it's really interesting if you're a U.S. customer, because universal LTE banding means you can jump onto any carrier you want and make sure you have ensure that you have the fastest access to the network. So no matter if you're on Sprint or AT&T or Verizon, you have access to the fastest LTE network. And that's something that not even the iPhone can do.
And what about sort of the camera discussion here? Are there new innovations there? I'm hearing about the Moto X style cameras, but I'd love to learn more. What's going on there?
Yeah, one of the biggest weaknesses with the last Moto X was the camera wasn't as great as people would want it to be. And so they've really stepped up their game there. There's a 21 megapixel camera. It's got a dual flash, one with color correction. So it boasts having the most color accurate photos out there. And so they say this is an industry-leading camera. We'll see whether the tests confirm it, but they definitely are high on the improvements that they've made to it.
So I just want to be super clear about the difference between the Pure Edition and the Style. Now, they have the same cameras, I would imagine, and only the U.S. has the LTE banding. What are the differences exactly between the international and the U.S. version of this phone?
Right. It was actually a little confusing. I had to ask a Motorola person, and they didn't quite know right away. So it's understandable why you'd be confused. The main difference, and it's essentially the same phone. The U.S. edition is just called the Pure Edition, but it is essentially the Moto X Style. But the key difference is the version that's sold in the U.S. will have that universal LTE banding. The version sold outside of the U.S., if you take it here to the U.S., you'll only be able to get access to certain carriers. I think it's AT&T and T-Mobile. So the one sold overseas has access to fewer LTE networks. But essentially, it's the same phone.
Okay. Hey, Roger, if I'm interested in this and I want to either see some of the various configurations or maybe even make a purchase, can I really get into the customization mode here using their Moto Maker site?
Yeah, that's their big advantage that they're pushing, is for people to go to Moto Maker and really tweak and customize the phone to their heart's desire, whether it's material, whether it's color. That's sort of the advantage. That's what Motorola's main selling point is, right? You can tweak it to your heart's content.
Now, when it was under Google, first came out with this announcement when they were leading up to the big Moto X, the first Moto X announcement, they held a secret sort of like meeting with a tiny number of journalists from Silicon Valley at the Googleplex in Mountain View. I was there, Leo was there, and they made a huge deal about the Moto Maker site. They're like, oh my gosh, we've been working on this for 2 years. We've revolutionized how phones will be made in the future. We've done all these complicated things. It was like, we have supercomputers working. It was like a big, big deal. They really made a big deal. Everybody was ooing and awing, saying, wow, that's amazing. But now Lenovo's taking it over, and they're just continuing with this Moto Maker thing, but they're not manufacturing them in the U.S. at the Google-created place, are they? Are they making these in China? No. Where is the Moto Maker manufacturing taking place exactly?
So they shut down the U.S. plant last year, and they have moved their manufacturing to China, and I believe Brazil as well. They're sourcing more locally, depending on what market they're trying to address. But yeah, the experiment with having the manufacturing facility in the U.S., I mean, it turns out it is more expensive, and they couldn't really afford to keep that going and turn a profit. So it's interesting. Also, the change that they're going with this year is they're not working with carriers, and I think that's actually the biggest difference, is they're actually trying to sell this phone directly online or through Best Buy or Amazon, and not go through the traditional carrier like AT&T or Verizon.
And Roger, is that because Lenovo doesn't have the relationships with U.S. carriers?
No, it's interesting because Motorola does have an existing relationship. They build these Droid phones for Verizon, so they have very good relationships with the U.S. carrier. They're making the argument that this is sort of the way people are going to buy phones in the future, especially as we're going off subsidies. People are realizing how much these phones actually cost. This Moto X, you know, sells for $400. That's a significant discount to an iPhone, which off contract is $650. So it's definitely a change in tack that they're trying. Whether or not it actually pays off is still unclear.
Hey, Roger, what do you think of the overall Lenovo ownership here and strategy? And it's sort of a two-part question. There's sort of that transition phase, right, of this technology, of the mobile technology shifting over from Google to Lenovo. So there's the transition. And then there's the longer term story in terms of how this is going to play out. What do you think of those two segments, those two pieces so far in terms of the transition and then the longer term, how this may play out under Lenovo's ownership?
Well, you're definitely seeing the transition phase right now. Lenovo has promised to sort of keep their hands off of Motorola, sort of allow Motorola to kind of do their own thing, to keep their own strategy. And today's announcement sort of shows that that's the case so far. Remember, these are the first products being released under Lenovo or under Lenovo's control. And so they're essentially, you know, they follow the same kind of strategy. It's a pure Android phone. There are minimal tweaks to it, minimal software tweaks. There are just a few sort of apps and features that are added to enhance the Android experience. But for the most part, the strategy remains the same. Longer term, though, it's we'll have to see whether or not these phones continue to be a success. I know Moto G has been successful. I don't know how successful Moto X has been as a flagship phone in relation to an iPhone or a Galaxy S. So I think longer term, the success of these phones will sort of weigh on whether or not there'll be some more dramatic changes or not.
You mentioned the Moto G. They also rolled out the Play. They also rolled out something called the Moto Pulse and Moto Surround, which you said before the show started that those weren't really all that interesting, kind of vanilla generic accessories. Of these four products, though, the four secondary products, Play, G, the Pulse, the Surround, any surprises, anything interesting in there that we want to talk about before we let you go?
No, not necessarily surprises. I mean, I think the Moto G continues to impress me. The price remains $180 off contract, which is an amazingly low price when you consider that they keep cramming new features and keeping the price the same. And just relative to a standard premium phone, and I know they're not really the same category, but you know, if you're paying $650 for an iPhone or a Galaxy S phone, the notion of paying $180 for a smartphone is pretty amazing. And I think that's why they're so successful in countries like Brazil, these emerging markets where they're a lot more price sensitive. It's definitely sort of a big target for Motorola.
Well, the Moto X was a really exciting phone when it came out for two reasons. The first is that it could do something that nothing else and no one else could do, which is that it could be just sitting on your night table and you'd just talk to it. It would wake up and answer your questions. Nowadays, that's a banality. We have the Amazon Echo. We have, you know, several phones do that kind of thing. Our browsers do it now. So that's kind of a banality. The other thing was it had interesting materials on the back. They promised initially that there would be wood. They eventually came out with wood backing ones. Now OnePlus has wood plus other materials. So I think, Roger, you might agree that this is a great phone, but they're not going to be there's no way to be as different now as they were when the first Moto X came out. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of the advantages that they first put out have been sort of covered. I mean, I do think Moto Maker still is a key advantage. It's sort of a site, a portal for you to go and tweak the phone the way you'd want it. But yes, it's a lot of those differentiating factors are now no longer the case. And it's really, you know, I think at this point, it still positions itself as the Android phone for Android fans, right? This is sort of the pure experience. There are only some minor tweaks here and there, but you're mostly getting Google's Android experience. So, you know, for some people, that's enough.